Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the James Whale Radio Show.
James Whale, the voice of reason on the James Whale Radio Show.
Okay, right. Nice to be here. Rob is annoying the hell out of me today because every time I start talking, obviously this show takes hours of rehearsals, and every time I start talking, Rob interrupts me. Why are you doing that today?
I thought I had something important to say, but obviously not.
No, you didn't have anything important to say. You just ruined my train of thought.
Okay.
Oh, don't be so easy. Don't be so hurt. We've got a great show lined up today. Got lots of music on it.
Am I allowed to talk now?
Yeah, when I stop, you talk, all right?
Okay.
Okay. I mean, so we're going to talk to, I've got an old friend of mine on today. I'm going to prove today that I can do the lovey interview with somebody theatrical.
Is that the bit where I talk? Because you stop them for a few seconds.
That's, now you're beginning to understand how it happens.
Right.
So later, Peter Straker, who's been a friend of mine for years, he's an actor like that. And he's great. He's been in all sorts of things. He was in the original Hair. He's been in everything. He's been in Doctor Who. You like Doctor Who, don't you?
I love Doctor Who. What's Hair?
Hair was a musical in the 60s that changed the face of the theatre in this country and everywhere in the world, probably.
So before that, they were all bald?
No, it brought pop music to the theatre, where before it was kind of show music and serious theatre. But we'll talk about that later. I mean, you're not really very cultured, are you?
No.
No. So today, on the programme, I'm going to bring some culture with Peter Straker. In fact, I'll tell you what, listen, why don't we, if we get hold of an old record of his, it's called Late Night Taxi Dancer. And it came out in the 70s. Let's play that now and get you in the mood, all right?
Okie dokie.
Have a listen to this. So there we are. Peter Straker, late night taxi dancer. You're in the mood now? Bit of culture?
I'm in the mood now. I'm ready to go. This is amazing, this show.
That's better. More enthusiasm. More enthusiasm. So welcome, all of you, wherever you may be listening to us, whether you're downloading for the first time or whether you're listening via jamesworldradio.co.uk or talentgb.com, who provide us with a lot of the entertainment on the show. What have you been up to this week? What are you doing anyway?
I've been ill.
You've been ill?
Mm.
Why?
Sore throat.
Well, not why. That's right. Say again?
I've had a sore throat.
You've had a sore throat?
Yeah, nothing's clearing it. I've still got it now.
Oh, dear. Oh, luckily, you're not in the same room as me. You're not even in the same county as me. That's quite lucky, isn't it?
Yeah. I'm in actually a different country than you are.
Yeah, yeah. Now, it's been the Euro elections this week, but when we're doing this programme, the votes haven't been counted, so we don't actually know what the turnout was like, and we don't know who's won the election, which is a bit of a shame. But I threw the question out earlier in the week and asked people whether they were going to vote and whether they thought there was going to be a big upset in the polls, and the majority said yes, they were going to vote. Zara Brown, on the other hand, said she threw her form away. All of them are a total waste of time. The thing is, Zara, if you say that, you open the door to somebody like me or Rob to come in as a dictator. You know, if you don't want any kind of democracy in the country, Zara, then I can just decide what the laws are going to be and you can't do anything about it.
It sounds all right to me.
What, you want to be a dictator?
Yeah, why not?
Oh, I don't know about that. I wonder now, when people are beginning to know, and people listening now know the outcome of the election, I wonder if some of you now would actually go and vote. I mean, we all know that everybody said, oh, yes, UKIP is going to be a huge turning point for politics in this country. Get ready for a barrage, some people said. I don't know whether that's happened. I don't know whether it's happened yet. It'll be interesting to see. And then maybe next week to talk about it, unless everybody's had too much of it. Melanie Graham, hello, Melanie, always wants me for Prime Minister. But I agree. I mean, but we don't want to bother to go through the whole thing of having an election. If not many people bother to turn out, I might as well just declare myself leader.
It just says James for PM. It doesn't actually say you.
Well, she means me. Who do you think she means?
It could be. There's lots of Jameses in the world.
All right. But looking through some of the things that you're saying, it's interesting. Vivian says she's definitely going to vote. Or it might be he, actually. Vivian can be a man or a woman. I had my granddad's name was Vivian.
And an Aunt Fanny.
I did have an Aunt Fanny. Yes, that's very clever of you to remember that.
I remember these things.
Yeah. And people, yeah, it's a real problem. You can't, who would name their daughter Fanny these days? And it's such a lovely name, isn't it?
Fanny's your aunt, Bob's your uncle.
Yeah, well, Bob, you still get Roberts and Bob. I mean, look, Rob.
I know.
You still get that, don't you? Would you call a child Fanny?
Well, it's just another name for bottom, isn't it? Or is that American?
No, don't be please, don't be horrible. Don't belittle this. It's a very serious subject. Well, you know, Fanny is an old English name, all right? And it used to be a charming name. Victorian times, there were very many Fannies about.
People like Fanny.
You're just being smutty. I'm not going to speak to you if you're going to be in that kind of mood.
I'll tell you what, I'll turn my headphones off and then you can speak to the listeners.
I think you should.
And then
yeah, I think you should. To me. You're listening to the James Whale Radio Show online and, of course, available via radio stations. It's available via YouTube. It's available by audio booing it, by, well, I don't know. Where else can you? You get it anywhere. I'm always interested to know how people listen. Why not get in touch? You can email me, jamesworldradio@gmail.com. Tell me how you listen to the programme. I'm interested to know. Now, if you would like to get a free audio book, of course, we offer that facility here on the James Whale Radio Show. All you need to do is go to the website at jameswhaleradio.co.uk, click on the Audible link. Look at the, go to the front page. If you've got a minute, look at that. You may be listening, I know, on your mobile phone, on the move. You know, some people listen to this program working out in the gym as well. Anyway, when you get a chance, go to the website, download the Audible link, and then you get a free audio book. Now, you can have any audio book that they have. Of course, you could have mine, Almost a Celebrity, where I keep on saying every week I spent hours in the studio recording every word. So if you want, you can get it absolutely free. And if you go to the shop, you can get a copy of the paper book signed. I've signed so many of them, I've just got to get rid of a few. Right, should we do some more music now?
Sorry, I wasn't listening. Sorry, say music. Yes, we got plenty of music this week.
You're trying to be so funny, aren't you? You're trying to be so clever. Now, listen, our friends at talentgb.com. And incidentally, if you are an act, whether you happen to be a musical act, a comedian, any kind of act at all, I don't know if you've checked out the website talentgb.com, but you really should, because talentgb.com give you a platform to promote what you do. And if you get in touch with them, you can also find out how you could perhaps appear on this program. They're providing us with a lot of the music and entertainment for the show. So go and check them out, talentgb.com. We've got a couple of acts as well on the program this week from talentgb.com. The first track is from Beatles Revolution. I think that they have one of the most authentic Beatles sounds in the business. Quite frankly, you hear it and you have to say, is that the Beatles or not? See what you think. Here they are. And I saw her standing there.
1, 2, 3, 4! She looked at me.
the Beatles, and I saw her standing there. They're not the Beatles. That's the Beatles Revolution. They're a Beatles tribute act, and if you want to find out more about them, how you can hire them, where you can see them, then go to talentgb.com, and you can find out everything you need to know about them there. You're listening to the James Whale Radio Show online and on your favourite radio station. Well, you are your favourite radio station now, aren't you, with this show? You just stick it on your phone. You can download it from talentgb.com, from Audioboo, from our website. You can you YouTube it?
You can YouTube it, iTunes.
YouTube it, iTunes, do whatever you like to it. Tell your friends to join us right here every week. In fact, if you go to the website, jameswhaleradio.co.uk, there are 35 hours of me talking complete and utter rubbish, but with some good guests. Now, listen, I've got a great way of making some more money. I'm going to mention Peter Straker, who's my guest coming up on the programme. I'm going to mention this to him, if I remember. I hope I remember. Did you see in the paper, Rob, that celebrities like Beyonce, Lady Gaga, the Rolling Stones, Pamela Anderson, and many more, lots of celebrities now, have a scale of fees that they charge to go to private functions, i.e. if you are having, I don't know, a fashion show, if you're having a dinner for friends, if you're having a birthday or a wedding or some sort of function and you want a celebrity, then for a huge amount of money, they will come along. For, I mean, if we had £4.2 million, the Rolling Stones would come along and play a private concert for us.
So what you're saying is we could do that?
Well, yeah, I'm just trying to think what we could do. I mean, Pamela Anderson, bless her, who, by the way, I have enacted a part of one of my TV shows. I ran down the foreshore of the River Thames with Pamela Anderson in the early days of Baywatch.
Did you know?
Where one of my shows doing a spoof on Baywatch when, because ITV put out my television show and Baywatch was a new thing that ITV had just commissioned and they wanted to give it all the publicity they could. So I went and did an interview with Pamela Anderson when she was in London and she slipped into her swimming costume and I didn't.
Slip into her costume.
And we filmed a bit on the foreshore of the River Thames because it was the nearest thing to the sea we could get to.
Was it cold?
I can't remember.
Okay.
I wasn't cold.
I'm sure.
And I know what you're hinting at, but stop it. So anyway, I thought, where am I going with? What am I talking about? You've put me off now. Oh, yeah. So Pamela Anderson charges £10,000 to do a tweet.
Wow.
I mean, I think she's got millions of followers, hasn't she?
Yeah, actually, if you've got millions of followers, you could get away with that kind of thing, yeah.
Well, so you and I together, what have we got together? We've got about 100,000. We could muster 100,000 followers, couldn't
yeah.
we?
Yeah, well, yeah, we get a few hundred quid a tweet.
Yeah, if you would like us to tweet out something about your business or tweet out a birthday message to you, it's very easy. Just email us.
JamesWhaleRadio@gmail.com.
Yeah, I was just going to say that, jameswhaleradio@gmail.com. And if you want us to come and have dinner with you, come to somebody's birthday party, I'm more than happy. Rob will drive me there.
I was going to say, I would just do it just for the free meal.
I know you would, I wouldn't.
As long as there's no cheese. I don't like cheese.
I love a strong cheese. I do like a strong cheese. And I like a nice meal. I like an Indian meal, a Greek meal, maybe something. I don't know, whatever you want. But if you want, I'll come along. This is a really good idea for making money, don't you think?
I think so. I like a beef stifado.
Mm. I'm sure you do. I've heard stories. The other thing is, of course, I could do a disco. You know, I used to play records on the radio back in the 80s. We could do a whole 80s disco.
We talked about this last week. I was going to do all the lights. I was going to flick the light switches on and off.
Yeah.
I'm still up for that.
Yeah, jameswhaleradio@gmail.com. Get in touch and who knows, we might be able to. Yeah. Good. Okay. Right. shall we do jobs. You know, Brooklyn Beckham got his first job in a coffee shop. I wonder how much he got paid. I did ask the question on Facebook, where or what was your first job and how much were you paid? Or should we talk to my friend Peter Straker first of all?
We'll do Peter Straker first.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Okay, well, this is in proof that I can do those kind of lovey, show-busy interviews. Peter, who has been around music and the theatre for, well, probably longer than I have been alive. Mr. Straker, hello.
Hello, James Whale.
Yes, well, let's take you back to the very beginning. That's a very good place to start. The original production of Hair, Peter, you were there. How old were you?
I was young. I think it was about 20, 21, something like that. It was my first show I did. I auditioned 9 times for it. And on the 9th time, they told us all to stand in a line. And the people's names they pulled out, they would step forward. And the people that stepped forward were told, thank you very much. And the people who were left behind, 27 of us, got the part.
9 times? Why did you have to audition 9 times?
The Americans. That was a system, actually, in those days. Well, a lot in American. I mean, Chorus Line came along after that, as you probably know, and that's the story of. They weren't sure. It was the first sort of rock musical using microphones with cables and nudity, swearing on stage, and all of that sort of thing. And it had been a huge hit in America, and it was an anti-war musical, really. It's about the Vietnam, the draft. And people protesting in peace and saying they weren't going to go to war in Vietnam to have to blow up people and kill each other.
It was a huge hit, of course, and it kind of defined the change in theatre in the 60s. How long had you been in Britain by then? Because you were originally born in Jamaica, weren't you?
Yes, I was born in Jamaica, but I came to London in the 50s, in the late 50s, not on a banana boat. Very cleverly, my mother, who sort of won custody of me and my siblings, two brothers, came over with my maternal grandmother, and we came on a cruise boat because to get us used to the idea that we were never going back to Jamaica was quite funny. So we went in. We cruised down there. We went to Havana. We went to Bermuda. We went to Nassau. We went across to Spain and to France, and then we landed in Plymouth. Then we got on that wonderful train and arrived at Paddington Station, which was ghastly in those days. It was really horrible and cold and wet and very, very dark and pigeons all over the place. And that's when we came. And then my mother was a leader singer, sort of classical music, that sort of singing and opera. And I decided I wanted to be in show business a bit later. I went to school in London, and the rest sort of is what I did. I decided to be an actor, and that's what I've been doing ever since, really. And then music came into it after that, because when I just found I could sing. I was very lucky. So can my brothers, actually. I think probably sing better than me, and I'm not being modest. But they decided they wouldn't do that, so I was going to be a singer, which I was. Mum then said she thought I should get a profession. A proper job.
Tell me what it was like being a young black boy coming to England in the 50s. There were still signs on houses. People could still say no blacks, no Irish.
It must
have been quite frightening.
It was very, looking back, it was quite confusing, really. I can't say I suffered a great deal of discrimination. I was more of an oddity. You know, the great thing was football, and people asked if I played football, and I lied, and I said yes, and I did. I played without shoes, I said, not really even realizing what a football was, because, of course, in the West Indies, and in Jamaica in particular, cricket was a big game in those days. And I lived in Kingston sometimes in a place called Halfway Tree, and I lied and said I lived halfway up a tree, and this made me very popular, and people found it very intriguing. So it was very, and of course there was some, but mainly amongst young children. Even historically now, we can prove children are more curious about the people that they know, and it's grown-ups who discriminate much more. I remember going down, because we used to live in Palmer's Green in London, and I remember one day going down to school with my mum, and she said, and this little girl turned around and said, "Look, Mum, that boy is black," or something to that, and the mother, the white mother, was saying, "Shush, don't say that." My mother said, "Well, of course he's that colour, because look at the, there's two differences." But children are more curious, and it's not prejudiced or anything. But I think grown ups are much more prejudiced, and of course they then teach children to be prejudiced.
Did you always have this, and don't take this the wrong way, Peter, we've known each other nearly 40 years, but did you always have this sort of fairly upper-class accent?
Yes, we were always taught to speak very well, and that was the way it was, and that was the way it was with my family. So, yes, that's the way we can speak. But, I can speak in Patois as well. I can speak like a Jamaican as well, you know. So it's all right. I mean, I understand it a lot. And my brothers and I, we used to speak on the bus like that, so it sounded like a foreign language. So that's how your children grew up, and, you know, you just enjoy yourself and have a good time.
Did you find that early on, in back in the 60s, in those days in the theatre, there weren't nearly as many black actors and singers then as there are now, obviously?
No, they weren't, actually, because, I mean, but don't forget, the population isn't as large and as varied as it in the late 60s, because, I mean, we did Hair in 1968 and 1970, and it just wasn't... there was a big problem, because, I mean, I remember on a Friday and a Saturday, we used to do two shows at the Shaftesbury Theatre, and Friday nights and Saturday nights were particularly difficult in getting taxis, because they were always busy, and we came out of the theatre sometimes at about 11:30, because the show ran later on those evenings. And I remember on many occasions, Marcia Hunt and myself would stand outside waiting for a taxi, and they would turn their lights off as soon as they saw us with this hair. And it's partially, I think, partially because we're black, and partially because at that time, hippies and things weren't considered, we were sort of downgraded a lot, so that there was a big problem there as well. So, yes, but there weren't so many blacks in the theatre then at all.
Tell me, let's move forward to the 70s. You became, at one time, you became very, very friendly with Freddie Mercury. You sang on some of Queen's records, and you hung out with Freddie quite a long time. What was that like?
That was fantastic. We met through mutual friends, and we just kept meeting at restaurants, eating out and things, and then we just sort of became friends, and it was quite wonderful, actually, because I'd never met a rock and roll star before. I think the only person I had met earlier was Elton John, but I wasn't very friendly. We just became very good friends, and we got on. We seemed to like the same music. He used to come and see me sing with this very, as he called it, or what I call it, but eclectic form of music. So it veered from sort of rock to also just musicals and odd sort of songs and things, and it was just odd, and we got on with each other very well, and he came and saw my shows that I was doing in Edinburgh and stuff like that, and we just became very good friends. And then I asked him if he would record an album with me, if he would produce me, and he said he'd love to, and we did it. But he did. He also said at the time, because it was about 75 or 76, he said they weren't doing very well in England. Queen weren't at the moment, because of course coming up was all that was the punk stuff, and Queen weren't very fashionable just for a brief moment in time. But surprisingly, we went on and we did the album, which was really good. And I signed a deal with his production company, and we did three albums in the 70s. Which I'm very proud of and like very much.
What was he like to work with?
He He was very, very professional. I mean that in the best possible way. Quite easygoing, because made you feel very comfortable. But tried and tried. We just kept doing and redoing things, because that's what I wanted as well. And he was very, very. He had some great ideas in recording, and which he was very kind enough to sort of just say, share them with me. And of course, Roy Thomas Baker, who was Queen's producer as well, he was the co-producer on the albums and stuff. So there was a lot to learn in that short time, because I'd only made one album before with RCA, which is in 1970 or 71, and then decided to act. And then this period came along where I did three albums after that, up to 1978, 79. And I learned a lot. And he was very influential. I just loved the way he worked, and very, very, he had so many ideas that just keep gushing out. It was great. And I was working with a band at the time, which included my sort of co-writer, which is Michael Allison. He actually also told me, actually, that one of the best things to do is to learn to write. So I started to write songs and stuff like that. I mean, not many, but I did write some, and he helped me on some of them. So he's a great, great influence, and which I'm thrilled to say, because it's not done me any harm.
Let's talk about some stuff that you're still known for, and for big fans of Doctor Who. Yes. You played quite an interesting part in Doctor Who, didn't you?
Yes, I did a Doctor Who convention actually last week. Isn't that weird? I played somebody called Commander Sherrell in a thing called Destiny of the Daleks, which I did in 1978 with the glorious, wonderful Tom Baker as the Doctor, and Lala Ward and Suzanne Danielle, and we did four episodes, and I was, to all intents and purposes, a human person dressed in the most extraordinary outfit with silver hair and stuff like that, and then in the end they found out really that I wasn't a human being at all. I was just somebody who could pretend to be a human being, and unfortunately I died.
Yeah, I've always had my suspicions about you, Straker, to be honest.
Stop it.
Listen, I wrote an autobiography that I'm pretty sure I mentioned in, called Almost a Celebrity, about myself. And so, in a way, I'm putting this to you as well. Like me, you've worked all your life, but you've never kind of made it up to that next level, have you, or we? How do you feel about that?
I feel it's two things I feel about it, because I feel I've been doing what I've really wanted to do and enjoying what I wanted to do. I'd like to make money now, and what I suppose the main thing, people judge you as the amount of celebrity and money that you make and how you go about your business. And I just feel I've just probably been unlucky, because a lot of actors who are very successful or musicians or singers, most of them will say, well, I've been very lucky, because they've worked just as hard as anybody else. And I think it's a little bit of luck, really. And if you're unlucky, I have no problem with it. I just keep working because I actually enjoy doing what I do. I enjoy trying to put shows together. I work with some fantastic people who have been very helpful to me. I mean, the late, great Mel Smith, who's done most of my shows with me and written them for me, and has been a great source of inspiration and things. Freddie and a few other people. Years ago, I did Tommy with Pete Townsend and stuff. So it's been all right from that point of view, because you can't get better than some of those people. And I was able to think that they were my friends, and I'm still working with some good people now. So it's just that, and they believe in me, which I do know they do. So I just keep going on because I love it. I can't think of anything else I would do. James, years ago, I with my manager at the time in the 80s, I said I was going to retire, had enough, because I wasn't doing what I wanted to do, and this, that, the other. And she took me out for lunch, and she said, "Now, let's see what job you can do, because let's see if I can help you. And I said, well, maybe I could become an agent or something like that. And she just laughed. To cut a long story short, there's nothing else I think I can do than either sing or act or play the fool or whatever. It's the thing that gives me most pleasure. It gives me nightmares. I don't sleep sometimes, but I love it. I love it.
Yeah, and the world, let's face it, the world would be a much poorer place without you and me.
You're absolutely right. I couldn't agree with you more. Let's drink to that when I see you next.
Now, I've had a little thought. I was reading in the newspapers just the other day that Lady Gaga charges £60,000 to have dinner with you. Beyonce charges £60,000 if you want her to come to a function like a fashion show or a production to be seen in the audience. Pamela Stevenson charges £10,000 to put a tweet out about you or your company. Mick Jagger and the Rolling Stones cost $4.2 million to come and play at a private party. Now, I figure that we ought to be somewhere around £500 to £2,000 to come along and have dinner with somebody. What do you think?
I'll go along with that. There's so many people must be in that category, James. I mean, maybe that's too much. I don't know. No, I don't know. It's sort of ridiculous, but I suppose it's true, but how many of those gigs do they really get?
Oh, I think they get as many as they want. But I think, I'm now offering myself with Peter Straker. I will bring him along. We will engage him in conversation about all the famous people he has known and all the people he's worked with. And he's had quite an exciting life. Trust me, I can assure you, things we can't even talk about here, but could at a private dinner party.
All right. We better have that dinner. We better have our own private dinner first and work it out.
I met Luke Goss through you.
Yes, you did. Yes, of course. And Luke, yes. I mean, yes, because we did a show together. I've forgotten. Luke was great as well. He was great. In fact, I recorded with his brother as well because he insisted that that I should do something. It never came to the light of day, but it still was a great thing to do. He was marvelous. We did a thing called Plan 9 from Outer Space. I think it's the worst movie ever made, but it was a very good musical. I mean, Patrick Moore came along and saw two shows of it. He loved it very, very much. I remember that. And that was a show that nearly went to America, nearly transferred, but what happened, the Americans had written part of the show, couldn't agree with the way we'd done it, and then they said they could do better, and we've never heard about it since. Luke now, is, of course, in Los Angeles, and I haven't spoken to him for years, but I still consider him a good mate.
In the 80s, you were in a TV series called Connie, which was all about the fashion industry. I wonder if anybody listening remembers Connie. And you played an absolutely foul, disgusting, despicable character, didn't you?
Yes. Very good writing by Ron Hutchinson. I mean, fantastic writing. And I was very, very happy to get the part in it. Originally, I was in for 6 episodes only, but fortunately, they liked what I was doing, so they kept me right through to the very end. It was with Stephanie Beecham and Pam Ferris and Richard Moran and a whole heap of people, Paul Rogers, hundreds, very, very, very good, fine actors, George Costigan. Yeah, and that was a great series. I had a good time doing that, actually. It was wonderful.
I think it's time for us just to talk about what you're doing now. You're at the Edinburgh Festival, as you are most years, but you've got a new album out too, haven't you?
Yes, I have. I've been at the festival last year and the year before, and the project was, for years and years, actually, as you know, I've been a Jacques Brel fan, and I've been singing his songs on and off. And I think I recorded only about one ever on one of the albums. I think the first album that Freddie produced, actually, which was called Jackie. And at long last, we have, with Michael Allison, who is my guitarist, but my producer, I've done an album called Peter Straker's Brel, which is available on Amazon. and it's a proper album, and it's got 12 songs on it. I'm just looking at it so I can remember what I'm talking about. And I've done a whole album at long last of his songs, so that that's taken a long time, but it's something that I've always wanted to do, James, to be honest. And I'm very, very pleased with it. And we've been doing it, and I've been doing some gigs around London, and I'm hoping to do it in various places in Europe later on this year. I am going to Edinburgh again this year, but I'm doing a new show, a different show, and it's called Black Magic, and it's songs from some of my old albums and songs that by well-known people. I'm going to do a song like It's a Kind of Magic, which is a Queen song, and things like I Put a Spell on You and stuff like that. We're trying to do with the band, I'm doing it with a rock band this time, and just do something like Sympathy for the Devil and stuff like that. So it's sort of going back to I love rock and roll, so it's a bit of that, but it's talking about bits of my life as well, and where I am now, and what next I'm going to do. So that's what I'm engaged in at the moment, and that's what I'm having sleepless nights about.
Well, don't have sleepless nights about it. I mean, I can recommend the album to anybody, and we're going to play a track from it in a moment. In fact, we're going to play a couple of tracks on the program because I like it. The one track of Brel's that everybody will know is, of course, you tell me, which is the most famous one?
Well, I suppose Jackie is, really. It's the one that Scott Walker did years ago, and Mark Holman did some years ago, again, a different version of. And this would be my version, which I like. But there's some other great tracks on it for me. I like, there's a song, Flatlands, which is a beautiful song. But, you know, I shall leave that up to you.
Well, we will definitely play Jackie, and we will all now go out and get your album from Amazon as well. And until we meet again, thank you very much.
Oh, it's a pleasure. It's a pleasure. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. And lots of love to you.
And if one day I should become a singer with a Spanish bum who sings for women of great virtue, I'd sing to them with a guitar I borrowed from a coffee bar. Well, what you don't know doesn't hurt you. My name would be Antonio, and all my bridges I would burn. And when I gave them some, they'd know I'd expect something in return. I'd have to get drunk every night and talk about virility with some old grandmother who might be decked out like a Christmas tree. And though big elephants I'd see, though I'd be drunk as I could be, still I would sing my song to me about the time they called me Jackie. If I could be for only an hour, if I could be for an hour every day, if I could be for one little hour, cute, in a stupid ass way. And if I joined the social world, became procurer of young girls, then I would have my own bordellos. My record would be number one, and I'd sell records by the ton, or sung by many other fellows. My name would then be Handsome Jack, and I'd sell boats of opium, whiskey that came from Twickenham, authentic queers and phony virgins. If I had banks on every finger, a finger in every country, and all the countries ruled by me, then I'd know where I'd want to be. Locked up inside my opium den, surrounded by some Chinamen, I'd sing the song I sang of then about the time they called me Jackie. If I could be for only an hour, if I could be for an hour every day, if I could be for one little hour, toot, in a stupid ass way. Tell me, wouldn't it be nice that if one day in paradise I'd sing for all the ladies up there, and they would sing along with me, we'd be so happy there to be, cause down below is really nowhere. And if my name were Juniper, then I would know where I was going, then I'd become all-knowing, and my beard so very long and flowing.
If I became deaf, dumb and blind because I pitied all mankind and broke my heart to make things right, I'd know that every single night. When my angelic work was through, the angels and the devil too would sing my childhood song to me about the time they called me Jackie. If I could be for only an hour, if I could be for an hour every day, if I could be for one stinking hour, cute, cute, in a stupid ass way. All right.
Ah, my thanks to Peter Straker. Bless him. He is worth having a night out with. In fact, Rob, when you learn how to use knives and forks properly, perhaps we should do that.
Okay, we could go for a burger, though. Then we don't have to use knives and forks.
Can you see Straker eating a burger? No, can't see it myself.
But then again, I can't see him eating a meal with a knife and fork either.
Well, I mean, it could be, oh, darling, what do we have cheese on this? Oh, that's lovely. Oh, and it comes with a salad. Oh, that's marvellous.
I won't be going if there's cheese and salad. I don't like cheese and salad.
You don't like cheese and salad? I really don't. What was your first job?
A golf caddy. I was 11, supposed to be 13, £3 a round.
Really?
Mm.
My first job was bottling up in a pub. My dad had a pub, and I used to get a few bob to go and restock the shelves early in the morning at weekends before the pub opened. And then after that, I left school at 15, 16. In my last legal year at school, they said, you're so useless. Just turn up in the morning and then disappear for the rest of the day. Which wasn't very nice, really. So I got a job with a building firm, and I was the driver's mate of the guy. We used to go around to people's homes, dropping off cement and paving stones and stuff like that for them to do their patios and things. I really enjoyed that. I got £1 a day. And I was living at home. I think that was the wealthiest I've ever been.
Yeah, sounds right.
So what do we got here? DJ Wazza said he, working at Starbucks. It says Starbucks here, but there we are. McDonald Michael. These are all made-up names, aren't they, on Facebook?
On Facebook, people tend to make up names, yeah.
Yeah. Who says he's earning £2.68 an hour to teach him the value of money. That's talking about Beckham. The limo picks him up after work and takes him to his £40 million family home. My first job was fixing washing machines on a YTS scheme at 27 quid a week. That takes you back, doesn't it? Nina Hurley, hello Nina, says she used to work at Radio Air in Leeds, answering the phones on a Saturday morning. She was supposed to be paid in LPs, but she never got any. That'll teach you. That'll teach you, Nina. Never take up those jobs where they say, well, they'll give you LPs. David Beedham says, paper boy, £15 a week. My mate's sister worked in Lucy Palmer's. What's Lucy Palmer's?
I've no idea.
All right, okay. John Hammond, McDonald's, £2 41 an hour. Ellis Smith. He was self-employed, Ellis, from the age of 13. Well done, mate. There are loads of you here. Paper round in Langley, £4.50 a week from Mark Brewer. What else? Janet Jenkins. Hello, Janet. Says, first job was on a dairy farm. I worked 84 hours a week for £10. Gosh, that is a pretty... That's not very good, is it, really?
That's slavery, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it probably is. Mary Downing Scott said she worked in a coffee shop at £1.50 for an 8-hour shift. My gosh. You don't know how well paid you are now. Alexander Roberts, greengrocers, 70p an hour, plus free veg. Yeah, but did you get the free veg?
Mm.
I wonder if you got the free veg, yeah. You're listening to the James Whale Radio Show. Welcome to it. And thank you very much indeed for tuning in this way. So anyway, what are we going to do now?
We could have some more music from our friends at talentgb.com.
We could. We could look out of the window and talk about the weather.
I've got a new idea thinking about
what?
This. We should set up a website called talentlessgb.com.
Talentless GB. People who can't do things.
Yeah, I bet there's more of those. than there are talented people.
I tell you, that isn't a bad idea.
And we could have them on the show.
That isn't a bad idea. Why don't you get in touch with us, jameswhaleradio@gmail.com, if you can't do something. You've got a video or a recording of you not doing something.
Hmm.
I'll kick it off, shall I?
Go on, then. What can't you do?
DIY.
Destroy it yourself.
No, I can't do DIY. So here we are. This is my DIY tip.
I'm waiting.
That's it. I haven't got one. That's it. Now, listen, our friends at talentgb.com providing us with music for the show. And if you want to see, hear, or hire any of the artists who appear on the program via talentgb.com, that's where you go to find out more. If you are an artist, whether you're a band, a singer, a musician, comedian, ventriloquist, I don't know, mentalist, if you do anything and you want to get more people knowing about you, well, why don't you go to talentgb.com? Not necessarily to appear on this program, but talentgb.com, who have a website and a platform for you to promote yourself. Now, okay, we're going to do something a bit different. This is a 10-piece, fully contained soul outfit. They cover all aspects of classical soul, from Al Green to James Brown. They have been together for 23 years. And I tell you, I don't know about hiring the Stones for £4.2 million for your private party, but I have to say, if I was having a party, I would be getting hold of Big Mac's Holy Soul Band, and this is their version of the classic Living in America.
Let me tell you, you got that wind coming in over Miami, brothers and sisters. A message from James Brown, he said. All right. Super highway, coast to coast. Easy to get anywhere. Cross the transcontinental overload. Have to have the wheel, baby. How do you feel?
When there's no destination,
it's too far. Got to have a celebration. Right, Bosco, we got to wiggle it just a little bit like that. Come on, here we go. Hey! Woo! Woo, man! Batman! Minnie Mouse! A raid track! Chicago, LA, Atlanta, Atlanta, Georgia, down to Kansas City, child.
fine, fine to me, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I live in America.
Hey. Woo! My soul, my soul. The beat it right on.
That makes you want to dance, sing, and ding-a-ling.
Ding-a-ling.
Dance, sing, and ding-a-ling. Yeah. Yeah, so go to talentgb.com, find out more about hiring Big Mac's Holy Soul Band. Actually, why don't we do a package? I'll do the DJing and the MCing. Big Mac can do the music. We could, and we'll put it all out for a couple of grand a night. I'm trying to think of ways of making some money.
We could sell more books.
We could sell more books, more T-shirts. Or perhaps we should get the TV show back on. We could do the TV show. We'll have a think about that, see if anybody's interested. You're listening to the James Whale Radio Show online and on everything, really, to be honest. Now, if you haven't been to our shop, you should go there. Why should they go there?
Because it's got lots of pretty things on it.
Yeah, including you can buy a copy of my book, signed by me.
And there's a picture of me wearing a T-shirt.
Yeah, picture of him wearing a T-shirt. You could buy one of those T-shirts. You can buy a baseball cap with the Whale logo on it. And actually, the summer is coming. It would be a good time to get a baseball cap and T-shirt with the Whale logo. It looks quite nice. Go to the shop and have a look. How do they get there?
JamesWhaleRadio.co.uk. Yeah. /shop.
And yeah, and listen, you can get the audiobook of me reading my autobiography for nothing, and you can listen to that. But you could also buy the book signed by me just to keep nice and look at the pictures while you're lying on the beach wearing your T-shirt and your and your baseball cap. I think that would be quite cute.
I still need to send your baseball cap to you.
You do, yeah, because, you know, I'm out with the bows and arrows at the weekend.
Mm.
Yeah, that's a very good idea. If you want to get in touch with us, by the way, don't forget, go to Facebook, and you can Facebook us, facebook.com/JamesWhaleRadio, and you can always get in touch by sending us an email to JamesWhaleRadio, don't forget the radio, JamesWhaleRadio@gmail.com. So we're back next week.
I'm just thinking of the poor sod who's got the account jameswhale@gmail.com. He must be getting all sorts of mail every week.
He must, really, but never mind. If he's listening, why doesn't he go to jameswhaleradio.co.uk and he can listen to another 30-odd hours? You know, guests from Boy George. Who did we have last week? Will Geddes, security man. You ever want to start a war, he's the man to go to. That's a joke. And on there we have all sorts of people, from MPs to lords to financial wizards to, our friend today, Peter Straker, who I love him, as you could tell. And listen, if you get a chance, go to Amazon, download Peter's album, Jacques Brel by Peter Straker. It's really good. So that's it, isn't it?
I think so. That's all we can squeeze in, really.
Yeah, time for you to buy me a coffee.
Yes, I'll put it in the post, send it down to you.
Yeah, as they say, you for coffee.
Did you just say something then?
I said, you for coffee.
You for coffee?
Yeah. I'll take mine black and no sugar.
Okay.
James Whale, the voice of reason on the James Whale Radio Show.
You're listening to the James Whale Radio Show. For more information, visit www.jameswhaleradio.co.uk. Why not check us out on facebook.com/JamesWhaleRadioShow or follow James on Twitter at @TheJamesWhale. James Whale, the voice of reason.